you join me in a word of prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, how are you doing this morning? Good, some of you answered. I appreciate that. Let me explain that. In our society today, there are so many times that people have used that as a greeting. Hey, how you doing? But they do it like this. Hey, how you doing? I really don't want you to tell me. And I decided some time ago, because many people respond, hey, how you doing? Good or fine. Could be a lie. And of course, I didn't want to lie. So I decided that if someone asks you, how are you doing? I say, I'm blessed. Because it doesn't matter if it's my worst day. It doesn't matter if it's my best day. I am still blessed. So no extra charge for that today. You'll be glad you came because you get something free, you know, to take away with you. And use that when you're out and about because sometimes you'll get an interesting reaction from other people. So every time that I am with you going forward in the future, you've been warned, and you know the response now. So how are you doing? See, there you go. You've already got it. You're a great group. I can see we're going to get along just fine. I want to ask another question. Have you ever had a time in your life when you've been really, really busy? Okay, something that you can understand with me, that if you react or respond or raise a hand or something, that's okay. A sermon, I don't necessarily feel, has to be a one-way conversation. Have any of you ever been really busy in your life? Okay, I saw a few heads that time. Okay, we'll work into this. I'm sure that you have. Sometimes the phrase is used, it's like, well, I've just been busier than a one-armed wallpaper hanger. In our gospel lesson today, that's where Jesus and his disciples find themselves. So busy because the word's gotten out. The word's gotten out as to who this Jesus is. And everybody wants a little something from him. They want something that he can give them. They've heard about, well, he heals. He feeds huge crowds. He raises the dead. He meets the people's needs, whatever they are. And we kind of get that. If we'd hear about something like that, well, I'd like some of that. I could take some of that. I have some needs. So much so were the disciples and Jesus busy because the word had gotten out, they didn't even have time to eat or to sleep or to rest. It said Jesus went home and the crowd showed up. The reason? There were three groups of people in the gospel lesson today that really misunderstood who Jesus was and what his purpose was. The first group that misunderstood him was the crowds. They just wanted something. The second group of people that misunderstood him was his own family. He's out of his mind. Really nice to say like something like that about one of your family members. And the third group of people that misunderstood him were the religious leaders. Okay, first of all, the crowds. I want some of that. I want to be there because, you know, I've heard all these things and there's never been a time that he's missed yet. He's healed. He's done all of these things. He's a miracle worker. When some people first heard about it, they said he's from Nazareth. They said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? You know, I don't know if there's kind of a small, of course, we're out in the country here, so I don't know if you get much more small town than this. But maybe you could think of a place that it's like, well, that's really not a very important place. That's kind of how Nazareth was looked at and viewed by a lot of people. But the word had gotten around. Everybody wanted something from him, so they pressed in. Jesus and the disciples could not even take a break. And we get that. We do understand that. When we discover a great thing, we want a part of it. We want to be a part of it. We want to receive the benefits that can come from this great thing, this offer, this opportunity that's right in front of us. the word spread about Jesus and the crowds came. They weren't thinking about his needs, they were just thinking about their own needs. Then there was his family. With all this activity going on, his family really didn't understand Jesus either and what his purpose was. Frankly, they're kind of embarrassed by his zeal and his religious fanaticism. He was doing all of these things. We see in places in Scripture that even his own brothers and sisters at first didn't believe in who he was. Some of the townspeople said, "What? This is Jesus. This is Joseph's boy. We know him. How could he do all these things?" See, if you're known, I guess you can't do things, or at least so they thought. His family just said, "He's out of his mind. We'll just come, and we feel like we'll collect Jesus. We'll say, come on, Jesus, come with us. It'll be okay. We'll just go to a quiet place, and you can sit down, and you can be away from all this." And so, they didn't understand. They didn't understand. So as the crowds pressed in on him, it even prevented his family, though, from reaching him. Someone told Jesus, says, "Hey, your family's outside. Your mother and your brothers." And then he has that response, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And he looks around and he says, "Here are my mothers, my brothers, and my sisters." Now, he wasn't disrespecting Mary, his earthly mother. But he was simply saying that as a body of believers, we have a very unique connection with one another. And that's for us today too. We connect with one another because of one thing. And I know you know the answer to this too. The one thing that connects us together is Jesus. Jesus gives us the unity. Jesus gives us connection. Jesus gives us that place where we can always come back to and say, "You are my brother or my sister." In 1993, I was part of the Promise Keepers Conference in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And one of the speakers that day was Riley Washington. That was his name. It just occurred to me. I didn't know if I'd remember it. And he's a black minister. And he said to 55,000 men that filled the stadium, he said, "If God is my father, then you all are my brothers." That's the connection that we have in Jesus. And as the crowds pressed in, as his family came to collect him, to say that it's okay because they didn't quite get what he was all about, Jesus was simply saying the connection that we have with one another because of Jesus binds us together. And he was also saying that the greatest thing of those people that are connected with Jesus and bind together, whoever chooses to put as the highest priority doing God's will, is a part of the family. You all are family. And with 175 years, I expect that I was told that this whole section was all related over here. Is that okay? That's what someone just told me. And maybe the rest of you are related. And it's great to have around, to be around family, and to have family. God wants you to understand you're part of his family. If you were baptized as an infant, if you were baptized any time later in life, or if there was a time when the Holy Spirit just created a saving faith in you, you became a part of God's family. And he says, "You are my child, and I will be your father." Putting all this another way, what does this connection mean? What does this being a part of family mean? Get tight with the Father. Ask the Father. Seek the Father and know his heart. Know his mind, know his desires, know his plans. When we do that, a whole bunch of other issues, some people call them problems, are going to disappear. Because we have that one connection in Jesus and his Father who is in heaven. How do we do that? Simply, we can say, Father, I thank you that I get to serve these people here today and bring your word to them. Speak through me that your words may come out of my mouth to bless them. Simple. Talking to the Father. Asking him, thanking him. You might pray to one another as you connect with the Father. Thank you, Father, that our pastor was called somewhere else to serve in a new capacity. Thank you, Father, that you're going to show us what we need to do next. Thank you, Father. See, the Father hasn't forgotten about Zion in Shum. Okay. I'm not from here, so I'm the out-of-towner. He hasn't forgotten about you. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what your needs are. And he knows exactly what the plan is going to be. You may not know it. I may not know it. That's okay. Stay tight with the Father. Stay connected with him. And he'll lead you through all of it. There's one group that we haven't talked about yet. The third group. The religious leaders. They accuse Jesus of being a devil. Wow. Talk about not getting it. Talk about missing the point. Jesus' response to their calling him a devil was, a house divided against itself is going to fall. Now, I do currently live, I say currently live because originally I'm from Wisconsin. Grew up on a dairy farm. Trained mechanic, and then later on God tapped me on the shoulder to be a pastor, so I give him heaven and I will fix your wagon. Some of you got that. Jesus' response was, I've lived over in Indiana, I've discovered that there's some people that feel real strongly about something. Indiana University or Purdue University? And I've even seen a license plate on the front of a gentleman's truck. It said, a house divided. Indiana University or Purdue University. I spent some time up in Michigan. My first call was there. And just about a year and a half ago, I was serving a congregation up there. And when you're in Michigan, there's people that feel pretty strongly about things there. Either you're a Spartan and you wear the green, or you're a Wolverine and it's blue and gold. And people feel pretty strongly about that. Is everybody just a Buckeye here in Ohio? Okay, maybe your house divided. I don't know. But I tried to think. I didn't know if there was another rival team that was in the state of Ohio or not. But you kind of get the idea. The religious leaders said that he was a devil. And Jesus said, is that working for you? Because that's a house divided. Satan is dividing his own house, and he's going to fall. Jesus said to him in verse 27, he said, listen, no one is able to break into a mighty man's house and steal his property unless he first overpowers the mighty man and ties him up. Then he can enter the house. Then he can plunder and take his possessions. Have you ever wondered what that part of that verse means? Well, I'm glad that you asked that question. Because today, I'm going to tell you what that verse means. When Jesus is talking about the strong man first has to be tied up, the strong man is talking about Satan himself. The house that it refers to is Satan's domain, or the place or the area where he operates. The people or his possessions are people that Satan controls. This can speak exactly to what you and I are living in this very day. We are living in an historic time. And I have to give you credit. I was told that through this supposed pandemic that we just came through, that you never closed and you never required wearing masks. Is that the truth? Good job! Because the things that have been going on if any of you are still watching the mainstream media, stop it. You're getting nothing but propaganda. But it's not about rivalry between political parties. It's not about this or it's not about that person. The times that we are living in are about good versus evil. God is going to show up. Keep watching for it. It's coming. And it may not be years away. It may not even be months away. It may only be. In fact, things have already begun to happen and change on a daily basis. God is coming to defeat evil. God is coming to reestablish his kingdom and to bless his people and to empower his people. I'm talking about believers that are part of a body, that are connected with Jesus, that are connected with the Father, that are part of his family. Hopefully that made a whole circle for you. These times that apply so much today is a reminder that God wants you to know you have way more authority than you've been told and what you've come to believe. Every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray in that authority. We pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." What we're praying there is we're praying that, Father, the things that are already established in heaven, come and establish them here on this earth. Your kingdom. So that more people can hear the word. Your will be done. So that more people will be restored, renewed, and in a whole variety of ways. And the Father wants to establish those things that have been established in heaven. He wants to bring them here and establish them on earth through you and through me. The question becomes for us all, how big will you believe? The enemy has convinced us, well, I'm just one person. I really can't do much. You can do great things. All power, all authority has been given to us. We see it in his word. We see it in the scriptures. God the Father in his wisdom has placed you and I living on this planet during this time in history for such a time as this, to make a difference, to be his instrument, to be his voice, to be his hands, to be his feet. And it doesn't mean we have to go to far off places. In the Bible study I had said that I had heard just in the last 2 weeks, live locally. What that means is, just like in Nehemiah when he went back to Jerusalem and he saw the destruction of the wall, he told each person, he said, rebuild the wall in front of your house. Don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about your neighbor on that side or this side. Rebuild the wall in front of your house. Take a sword in one hand. When the enemy comes, you fight the sword, but keep laying the bricks. Live locally. Make a difference where you can. If that means starting in your home, start there. If it means starting in your local city or village, start there. If it means in the schools, start there. If you want to know where to start, ask the Father. Father, where do I start? How do you want to use me? And thank you that you've given me the opportunity. A couple of takeaways from this morning, if you missed everything else. There's only two things that we really need for these days that we live in. One is faith. That's the first one. Faith that is given to us by the Holy Spirit, so it's not something we come into this world with. God gives us the faith to believe, and he'll give us everything. He has given us everything that we need to sustain that faith and to continue it so that it'll continue to grow and become stronger. Faith is like a muscle. Unless we work a muscle, it will not get stronger. If we just let it, it'll atrophy, it'll become hard, it'll become useless. But when a muscle is exercised, when it's stretched, it will become stronger with each time. The same is with our faith. A lot of times things go through my mind. Have any of you ever prayed for patience? Okay. If you have, Did God just zip it open, pour it in, and zip it shut? There, I've got it. Probably not. Lord, give me patience. So he puts you in a situation that requires you to practice patience. You see, how the Father works is with grace, with love, not necessarily concerned about our comfort. But with faith, he will take us and do great things through us. That's the first thing. Faith, and continue to build up your faith and strengthen your faith. Second thing is prayer. Prayer is the mightiest tool that we have in our toolbox. Sorry, I told you I was a mechanic, so, you know, mechanical references might be frequently and often. But prayer is something that we can use every time. It's as good as the red phone that sits on the president's desk, that he can pick up that red phone and he can talk to any world leader around the planet. Prayer is as simple as picking up that red phone, and we will never get a busy signal. There will always be someone on the other end of the line that's ready to listen. In fact, the Father, when one of his children picks up that phone in prayer, he says, "Shh, my child is speaking. Listen, listen." Faith and prayer will bring us to a place where we are tighter with the Father, and you and I will be the warrior that he intends us to be for the battle that we are in. And my brothers and sisters, every person is desperately needed. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you this morning that we have been able to come into your house again. You were here very early, and you were awaiting our arrival so that you could spend time with us. You looked forward to that. Thank you, Father, that we had the opportunity to do that. Thank you for giving us the word. Thank you for strengthening our spirits. Keep us strong. Keep us connected with you. We pray this in the all-powerful name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. That was your part. You did a good job. We'll continue with the prayers of the church.